Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, listeners. I'm Joyce Kyle, the Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life. Thank you so much for joining in for another broadcast of Boots on the Ground. If this is your first time tuning in to us, I'd just like to extend a very hearty and heartfelt welcome to you. You could be anywhere in the world at this time, and you've chosen to give a little bit of your time to us, so we are extremely grateful for that. This show was created in an effort to reach those who are working in the trenches, those individuals that you may or may not know of and know about their products, their services, the good that they're doing in their various communities. So you may be aware of the work and not familiar with the name. And we wanted to make sure that we really focused on our unsung heroes for those who are working in the trenches in whatever social issues may be of interest to you. Now, Walking Into a New Life created this show, and of course, Walking Into a New Life's mission is to eradicate domestic violence and help stabilize victims. And we do that through a number of products and programs that we host throughout the year in an effort to bring about change as it relates to DV. So we are just so extremely grateful for the opportunity to be able to do that. And before we get into the show with our special guest, I just wanted to say thank you, thank you, thank you to everyone who has filled out the domestic violence survey, for everyone who has contributed cell phones to us. Those are very helpful tools in order for us to be able to determine what the best needs for those who have been victimized by domestic violence, because we really pride ourselves on providing tangible resources for those individuals who are in need of our services. So if you're in the Memphis, Tennessee area, please contact us. Bring those things by to us locally. Our phone number is 901-466-6182. Again, that's 901-466-6182. And our website is wianl.org. And you can find us on all sorts of social media platforms, especially Facebook. So if you are a Facebook person, please look for us, Walking Into a New Life Incorporated on Facebook. Join us, keep up with us and what we have going on. Now, without further ado, I'd like to introduce to you our special guest for today. Ms. Emily Wallace comes to us as a motivational speaker, inspirational author, and she has written a book. Her book is called Scarred for Life, and it is an autobiography, and we're just so pleased to have her on the show with us today. So without further ado, let me introduce to some and present to others none other than Emily Wallace. Ms. Wallace, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm with you guys. How are you doing today?
Well, how about yourself, Ms. Wallace?
I'm doing okay. I can't complain.
Good. Well, thank you for joining us on the show today. If you would, just in your own way for the next few minutes, just share with our listening audience today a little bit about who you are and about the background and inspiration behind your story, Scarred for Life.
Well, my name is Emily Wallace, and I'm legally blind. I'm 47 years old. I have six children, and I'm happily married. I wrote the book Scarred for Life because it's my autobiography. I was abandoned by my mother at the age of 11 years old. I came home from school one day, and everyone was gone without a trace. My mother had 12 children, and I'm the only one that she left behind. And I came home from school one day, and like I said, everybody was gone. I lived on the streets for 6 years. And when I say the streets, I mean the streets for 6 years. From eating out of garbage cans, sleeping up on the porches, sleeping in vacant houses, just anywhere I can, anywhere I can sleep. That's what I was doing to try to survive. But, you know, I do have to say I am a survivor. I made it through, and God kept me here for something. He watched over me while I was out there. Many days while I was out there, I thought about suicide, running in front of a car and killing myself, you know. And it was very hard out there. It was very hard. I ran across, you know, a friend of mine. I can tell you guys, if you want me to, Joyce, to go into the story of some of the things that I experienced out there, if you want me to start that, or do you want me to wait for a little later in the show?
No, that is just fine. You go ahead and share however you feel that this time is just as good as any. So go right ahead, Ms. Wallace. Go right ahead.
Okay. So, you know, my mother, you know, I was out there just walking around. When my mother first left, I didn't know what to do. I was stuck. Didn't know what to do. And probably like about 2 weeks later, I ran across a friend of mine. I was out there for like about 2 weeks, and I ran across a friend of mine. She was 13 years old, and I was 11, and she was friends with my sister also. So when I saw her, I immediately said, have you seen my mother or my sister? Because I've been out there for 2 weeks, and I'm saying, you know, maybe she saw him, because she used to come over my house all the time. She told me no, she haven't seen them. So I got to telling her, you know, my mother and all my sisters and brothers left me. I don't know where they're at. I don't have nowhere to stay. And I just was really hoping and praying that I can go with home with her, where I can get some help from her mother or something. Because,
right.
You know,
a lot of people
didn't want to get involved. A lot of people didn't want to help. You know, and it was hard to believe to myself that, you know, I didn't know what to think when, you know, I thought about it so much, you know, while I was out there that, you know, what did I do to make my mother leave me? For so long, I have to tell you guys, I thought it was my fault. But when I met this, you know, her name was Nikki, and I was standing at the bus stop talking to her, and then I couldn't tell, it was a dark color car, it was blue or black. And, you know, she stopped talking to me, and she went over to the car, and she was talking to the person that was in the car, but I can hear a man's voice, but I couldn't hear exactly what they were saying, but I know it was a man's voice. And about 2 seconds later, she said, Emily, let's come on, let's go. And I said, where are we going? And she said, come on, I've been knowing him for like about maybe 3 months to 3 weeks. And I
wow.
immediately went with her. I got in the car, and I went with her because I'm saying that, you know, if she's been knowing him, at the end of the day, I'm going to end up at her house with her, and her mother can help me. And about, you know, I got in the car, and I, you know, they stopped it. The guy drove probably like about maybe 7 to 10 blocks down, and they he stopped at a store. Nikki stayed in the car with me. She did do that. She stayed in the car with me and, you know, telling me, and he's cute. And I'm like, I'm looking at her like, this man looked like he was in his late 30s. And I'm saying, I am 11 years old. I'm saying, what is she talking about? And so then she told me, she said, well, Emily, why don't you slide over on the other side? Because I was in back of the pastor side. So she told me to slide on the driver's side in the back seat because the other door, she said, was broken. So I slid over on the other side, and when the guy came out the store, you could hear the glass in the bag. And the next thing I know, Nikki, you know, grabbed the bag and the cup, and she pulled some, you know, in the cup. That's all I got all day. It was liquor. She pulled it in the cup, and she said, here, Emily. And I said, no, what's that? And she said, here, just take it and drink it. She said, I'm good. And I know I told her, I said, I'm good. That's okay. And then she said, she took the cup and she started drinking it and turning up the music real loud. And it's like she was a whole other person in that car. I didn't know who she was in that car. And then they started driving. And about maybe 5 minutes later, they pulled down, started driving, and the guy pulled over to the right side of the street off of Woodward. It was in Detroit, actually. And another guy jumped in the car. You know, he pulled over for this other guy to get in the car. And I was the only one. I was scared and terrified because I didn't know someone else was getting into that car. But as I got older, Nikki knew someone else was getting into that car and the other guy, because that's why she told me to slide over. But I was too young to acknowledge what was going on. And so there's the... when the other guy got in the car, he's looking at me, and I'm trying to move closest to the other side of the door as I can, because the guy just kept looking at me back and forth. And probably like about 5 to 10 blocks down, they pull over at a park, and it was, the park was real, real dark. I couldn't see because I didn't have my glasses. The school system had paid for my glasses. So every day when I used to come to school, I have to pick up my glasses from the office, and I have to drop them back off before I go home because
okay.
my glasses
right,
at home kept getting wonky. So I didn't have my glasses. And so then when they pulled over at the park, it was like one street light, but it wasn't that bright. And so then Nikki and the other guy jumps out the car. Nikki jumps out the car, and the other guy gets out the car in the front seat. And I said, Nikki, where we going? Where you going? She said, no, you stay here. I said, no, I want to come. I'm going too. Because I didn't want to stay in the car with the other guy. So, you know, I get out the car
right.
with her. I get out the car with her, and I said, okay, Nikki, I'm coming with you. She put her hands on her hip and told me, no, you stay here. We want to talk. I'm like, what? I'm like, are you serious? So I'm standing there like I'm in shock, like, no, she did not just tell me to stay here. So then at that time, she went on through the park with the guy, and then the other guy, he gets out the car. He's smoking a cigarette. So when he gets out the car, I go around the car and get back in the car. And I'm sitting there in the car and saying to myself, why did I get into this car? Why did I get into this car? And about 2 seconds later, the other guy gets in the car. And he say, what's your name? And I said, you've been hearing her say Emily all day. Because I was already mad. Because I'm mad because she don't left me in a park with somebody that I don't even know from a can of paint. I'm just really,
right.
really mad. So he said, and when I told him, I said, you've been hearing her say Emily all day. And he said, well, don't you get smart. And I said, well, I'm not getting smart. And then he said, the next thing I know, he got to grabbing me and shoving me, you know, trying to pull me over with him. And I kept trying to, he was trying to rip off my clothes. And then I tried to fight him, you know, because I hit him. I ended up hitting him in his face, you know, while he was trying to grab my clothes off. And then he just went really crazy. He just started beating me all in my face, beating me, punching me everywhere. I mean, like I was a grown man the way this man was hitting me. I mean, and he was in his late 30s also, and I got to trying to study, trying to fight him back, and he got to grabbing me, and you know, and all of a sudden he pulled out a little blade like a pocket knife. It was silver, and I could see the little shinies into it. And he said, "If you don't shut up," because I started screaming. What happened while he was, you know, kept hitting me, I started howling and yelling, hoping somebody hear me, but my voice was not heard, and I just, you know. He pulled out the knife and said, if you don't shut up, I'll kill you. And so you can imagine how quick my mouth closed when he said, shut up or I'll kill you. So I immediately just shut up, and he just got to doing everything he wanted to do to me. I mean, this man, I just, it was a lot. And at the time when he got done with me, he told me to get out the car. He said, if you tell anybody, if you say anything, I'm going to come back and I'm going to kill you. And so I was so scared and so afraid. Normally, you know, I didn't tell you guys that part, but normally while I was out there for them 2 weeks, I usually walk in the streets because the streetlight would shine down on the street and I could see a little better than the sidewalk. But when he put me out the car, I just immediately started running. I down the sidewalk, I slipped and fell, and because I didn't want him to come back and change his mind to come back and get me, so I was running. And then I ended up running, and I cut through an alley, and I sat on the side of a garbage can behind Michigan Bell. That's what it was called back then, Michigan Bell. And so then I like I said, I was so scared and so afraid that I didn't know what to do. I was really, really scared, I have to tell you. I didn't know what to do.
Wow. And how old did you say you were?
I was 11 years old.
And that's the thing that is one of the things that I really want people to get as they're listening to you share, is that, you know, abuse, bullying, domestic violence, sexual assault, those are types of things that happen at all ages, all stages, all races, all economic backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And so I I commend you for being an individual who has taken a myriad of adversities that you've shared, and you went into great detail about this one in particular, and that takes a lot of courage, and I know that that can be very difficult to do. I want you to know how much I admire and respect the fact that you are so transparent and you are sharing so much of yourself in a personal way. And for those of you who are just tuning in, I'm Joyce Kyles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life. We want to thank you so very much for tuning in for another broadcast of Boots on the Ground. And if this is your first time tuning in, I ask that you will, if you're just now tuning in, please go back and listen to the replay, share this with others, really take in what's being shared today. We are so pleased that each and every week we have the opportunity to talk with individuals who not only share stories about their own personal experiences and their trials, but also their triumphs, and how they have taken those horrific experiences and turned them into something positive, and that they use them to help the community. So as I say that, Emily, I'd like to go back to you at this time, and I want you to talk for a few minutes about some of the wonderful things that have happened, that has happened with you and to you and for you since you started sharing your experiences.
Well, you say as when I got older?
Sure. I want you to talk about, you talked about some of the things that have happened to you in your childhood, and I do know that you've experienced a myriad of other things even into your adulthood. But I want,
yes,
since we're getting down towards that last few minutes of the hour, I want you to share with the audience about some of the wonderful things that you have experienced in your life since that time.
Yeah, what I have experienced in my life, first of all, I want the listeners to know that it took me over 20 years to be able to speak out about my abuse, my neglect, my abandon. I am a motivated speaker. I speaks about child abuse. I speaks about bullying, and I speaks about domestic violence because I experienced all three of them out there on the streets. I am a mother of six. I'm happily married. You know, I experienced, you know, when I was picked up, while I was out there on the streets at the age of 17, I was out there for 6 years, and an elder lady took me in, you know, and, you know, she helped me out for a few days, and then she turned me over to her brother there who was raising his two daughters. So I was very grateful for that. I was really grateful. You know, as today, I am a motivated speaker, and I just go around and I speak about child abuse and bullying and domestic violence, and I'm grateful, and I just look at it that, you know, God washed over me while I was out there on the streets, and I have to tell you, you know, to a lot of kids, is very anxious to get out there and hang out with their friends and so forth. It's nothing out there but dangerous people. And you have to be very careful of who you hang out with and who you be with. Because if I wouldn't have got in that car when I was so young, I wouldn't have got what I got. You know, even though I was young and, you know, wasn't the knowledge to it. But you just have to be careful. And if I, you know, and the only thing I can say is today, if you have a mother or you have a father, be grateful that you got that. There's someone that's there for you. Even if you just have a mom, be grateful that you have a mother. Or if you only have a father in your life, be grateful. Or if you have both of them, be very grateful. Because a lot of kids out here does not have that. And I didn't have it at the age of 11 years old.
Very true. And, you know, I am so, like I said, I'm truly sorry about the experiences that you have encountered, especially those that you shared with our audience when you were younger. And, you know, at that age, you shouldn't have to be worried or concerned about things like that. And it's so unfortunate that we live in a society where we have older men and women who prey on the weak. They prey on our young people. They prey on our babies. And one of the things that I really try hard to do when I am speaking with individuals, especially with young people, is just what you said, reminding them of the danger signs, things to look for, things to be aware of, being mindful of your surroundings, not getting involved with the, you know, the wrong type of people, and just understanding who the wrong type of people are. And in your case, what you shared is that you were with someone that you trusted who left you with someone that you didn't know. And, you know, how do you deal with those things? And it's the thing of if you knew then what you know now. So I feel like it's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. It's responsibility of all of us as adults to really talk to our young people about what to look for, how to look for it, and what to do if you find yourself in a position that is uncomfortable and unsafe for you. So, I commend you. I applaud you for doing what you're doing. Let our listening audience know how to purchase your book.
Okay, yeah, you could. But also I just want to say, Joyce, to let our listeners know also that authorities can always help. Go to authorities if you feel someone is abusing you, neglecting you, and abandoning you. And a lot of, women and men that's going through domestic violence, get help. Don't stay in because, that's another topic because I stayed before my husband with a guy. After I don't experience all this out of my life, I stayed with a guy that was domestic violence before my husband. You have to get out before it's too late. But my book, I wrote an uncut version of Scarred for Life, and then I went back, and you can find that on Amazon. I wrote a clean version for the kids under Scarred for Life. It's under my pen name, Tina Smith. And you can get it from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or you can just tap in the name of the book, Scarred for Life by Emily Wallace or Scarred for Life by Tina Smith, and you can get, both books. But if there's any child or any adult out there that's going through something, would like to read my book, because I'm sure they will get something out of it. If you can't afford to buy the book, send me an email. My email address is author, A-U-T-H-O-R, Tina, T-I-N-A, Smith, S-M-I-T-H, at gmail.com. Don't get me wrong. I want my book to be financial set. But if you guys cannot afford to buy my book, send me an email, and I'll send you one free. The only thing that I do ask, don't just get the book and sit it on the table. I want you to read it, and that's all I ask. You don't have to pay anything. And I do have a Facebook under Emily Wallace. I have a Twitter. I have a LinkedIn. You can contact me through those social media also. And, Joyce, I just want to tell you thank you. I really appreciate it, the time, you're letting me share my story on your show. I really appreciate it. I'm grateful.
Well, thank you so much, Emily. I appreciate you being a guest on the show and, for agreeing to come on and being so open and transparent about your experiences. And the fact that you are willing to share your book for free. So I will put this out here. She is offering the book for free, and we will be sharing with you all, as we always do, with our guests. We will also share how to reach them on our social media platforms as well. But I do want to encourage you, if you have the money to purchase the book, then please do that. I think it's a wonderful thing that she is offering it for free, and I've certainly done that and a lot of our other our previous guests. But also, this is what we do in part for a living. So we do ask that you support what we do financially if you're able to. But if you're not able to, at the same time, she is offering this as a gift. So just when you are reaching out to her, just keep that in mind. If you have it, please give it. If you don't and you still want it, then go ahead and ask her for it for free, but do what she asks you to do, and that you don't just get it and leave it on the shelf. Use it, read it, take it in, internalize it, and then give that information to someone else who may be in need. So, Emily, again, thank you so much for being a guest on our show. We are so glad that you accepted.
Okay, and thank you. I appreciate it.
And as we are coming down to our last few minutes of the show, as always, I'd like to remind our listeners that if you or someone you know is going through a domestic violence situation and is in need of immediate help, you always can call 911 to get help, but you can also reach out to the National Domestic Violence Hotline. That number is 1-800-799-7233. Again, that's 1-800-799-7233. 799 972. And as always, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in this week. Again, if this is your first time tuning in with us, we certainly hope that you will come back again next Monday, listen in, share the information. We don't want you to just hear it and put it on the shelf, as Emily said. We want you to actually take it, use it, distribute it. Each week I strive really hard to make sure that tangible resources are being provided for holistic health and wealth, that we do discuss the different intersections of domestic violence and assault. You just heard another one today by listening to Emily Wallace's story, and I love the fact that she was able to tie in all of the wonderful things that have happened to her since that time and the people that came into her life to support her. What I want you all to get as we wrap up in this last couple of minutes, what I want you to get from this is that it takes a village. It takes a village. So if you or someone that you know is in trouble, if it's you, reach out to someone so that they can help you to get started on your life, your best life, your new life. That's why we named our organization Walking Into a New Life. We don't want that walk to just be a new one. We want it to be a better one. But we want you to know that there are people around the globe who want to walk with you and help you to develop the best life that you can possibly have. But it starts with you, with opening up and sharing with someone that I'm in trouble and I need help. Don't be afraid to do that. If it is someone that you know, and you know that they are going through domestic violence or any issue, any social issue, whether it's domestic violence, sexual assault, if it's poverty, if it's homelessness, if it's bullying, whatever it may be, reach out to that person and just let them know that you are there for them. You are there to guide them. If you don't have the answers, that you're willing to help them to find those answers. A lot of times this stays so quiet because we don't have enough people who are, for whatever reason, willing to open up and speak up and speak out. So I speak for myself, for Emily, and all the rest of us who are just wanting so badly to let you know that we made it to the other side, that we are in healthy relationships, that we are happy, that we do have peace. This road, and I'm sure, Emily, you can attest to this, this is not an easy journey to walk, but it is a necessary one, and it's one that can be really fulfilling, but you have to take that first step. You have to take that first step and say, I'm in trouble. I need help, and where do I start? And, Emily, you brought out such a wonderful point in sharing about your experiences as a child, because as children, we don't always know and understand who to talk to, who to trust, and where we can go for help. So going forward, and I'm saying this, you know, just even for myself, I host an event every October called Girls Night Out, and it's specifically designed for young ladies, teenagers and up, to come and we discuss domestic violence issues, teen dating violence. And we do that because I really want our young people to understand that they have help and support. They may not understand what's happening to them, but they know that something is going on that's not right. And so I take a real pride in doing that, and I plan on doing a lot more of it. So, Emily, your information is going to be shared with our listening audience. Listening audience, I want you to take full advantage of what she has shared today. Be sure to reach out to Walking Into a New Life. If you have any questions regarding domestic violence, sexual assault, or where to get support, we are so pleased to be able to work with each and every one of you in the manners that will actually help you to not only survive but thrive and live your best life. So as I close out for our segment today, I want to again thank you all for joining us, and please be sure to come back and join us on next Monday for another broadcast of Boots on the Ground. I'm your host, Joyce Kyles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life, and as always, we appreciate you taking your time out of your day to tune in with us. Tell a friend to tell three more friends to join us, listen to the replay, and use the information that has been given. Because we can share it, but until you use it and apply it, then it's just words. But if you take it and apply it, I promise you, you will see a major difference in the way that your life is lived. I'm Joyce Kyles. Thank you so much for tuning in. Be blessed.